story of Mert and Moy. The Houston gang has gotten the Albany address of Jimmy Miller, Margie's foster brother, and the girls are sure that the gangsters are on their way to pick him up. Mert has dispatched a warning telegram to him, but they don't know whether he'll receive it in time. Just before we took leave of them in the last chapter, the girls received a telephone call from Duke Sandfield. Duke told them they were in danger, but said that he was taking steps to guard them. In just a moment, we'll pick up their exciting adventures again in today's episode of the story of Mert and Marge. It's the next day. Following Jack's instructions, the girls have been in their apartment all day long. Mert is talking.
Well, I've looked through the entire paper, Margie, and there's not a word about the Duffys today.
Well, that's a relief.
And here's a very small item down the corner of the third page. It says that Bill Houston and three of his black market associates will be moved to a federal prison tomorrow to begin serving their sentences.
Too bad they haven't got that Keith and Belden in the same prison.
Oh, I have an idea they'll be rounded up very soon. Jack said the FBI were out after him.
It's been over 24 hours since we sent that telegram to Jimmy in Albany. And no wire from him.
Well, Western Union said that there was no one by the name of Minter at that address Jimmy gave Jack.
We hope he got away all right.
I hope so, too.
You want to look at this paper, Margie?
It's of no interest to me any longer. I'm not even mentioned.
I don't care if I never see your name in the paper again. I guess there's no more news. We read everything but the advertisements and the death notices.
Oh, say, nothing more in that Voice of the People's column, is there?
Oh, no, Mel. I wonder why people write personal. Look, here it says, "Come home, Ed. All is forgiven. Mary."
I don't know how anybody ever knows it's going to be in the paper. How do they find it out?
That's what I wonder. Here's another one. "Don't do it. R. Not safe."
Don't do what? Doesn't that sound dumb?
Oh, say, here's one. "Find Minter." No. "Got all info. Everything arranged. It's signed B."
Hey, let me see that, Margie. "Minter got all info. Everything arranged. Good."
Well, that can only mean Jimmy. Found Minter.
Wait a minute. I'm going to get Jack on the phone.
I wonder how it got there.
Gee, this can be serious, honey.
I hope Mr. Arnold's there.
Hello? May I please speak to Mr. Arnold? This is Miss Spear talking.
Oh, he is?
Well, thank you. Bye.
What do they say?
He's on his way over here right now. Read that again, Margie.
"Found Minter. Got all info. Everything arranged. Signed B."
B. That must stand for Belden.
Oh.
Who can the message be for?
Oh, Jack will probably dope it out.
Well, Minter, I wonder what it means.
I don't know what it means, Margie, but why would a message like that be down in the personals column of a newspaper? And the name Minter. Oh, they must mean Jimmy.
Well, maybe that's Mr. Arnold.
Oh, not so soon.
Who is it?
Oh, Ben.
Oh, it's the other boy.
Oh, what do you want, Ben?
Miss Spear, there's a fella down come running in the back door when I was coming to work.
Mm-hmm.
He said to tell you gals he's Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy? Well, where is he now, Ben?
He's done hiding down in the basement, down next to the storeroom. Guess I want to get the police.
No, don't get the police, Ben. I know who it is. He's all right.
Well, that fella looks wild. He's crazy or something.
Ben, go back to your elevator and don't say a word to anyone about him being down there. Not a word now.
All right, if you ladies ain't afraid, that fella looks crazy. I'm telling you, crazy.
Oh, that must be Mr. Arnold. I'll let him in.
Now, wait a minute.
Is that you, Jack?
Yeah. Hello, girls. How are you today?
Oh, Jack, did Ben the elevator boy say anything to you on your way up?
Why, no, he didn't.
Well, Mr. Arnold, Jimmy...
Now, Margie, wait a minute. Don't get excited. Jack, that personal notice is in the paper. Did you see it?
Oh, yes, yes. They mean Jimmy, all right. I think it was a message to Houston in jail. That's a sure way of reaching him, you see.
Jimmy's here, Jack.
Here? In the apartment?
No, he's here in the building. He's hiding down the basement. Ben, the elevator boy, just told us that he came running in the back door of the building, and he's down there now.
Oh, well, I'll go right down now. Keep the door locked while I'm gone.
Oh, let us go with you, Mr. Arnold.
Well, all right. Come on, but be careful. Stay close to me, because some of Houston's men might be hanging around the building, and it might be very dangerous. Basement, Ben, and I don't want you to say a word about this man. If anybody comes in the building, you don't know anything. You haven't seen anybody.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Ben, is there any way of locking the back door of the basement?
Well, that's the service door where the people what works here and the fireman comes in. They only lock it at night.
Well, could it be locked now for a little while?
I don't know, sir.
Ben, could it be locked for this $10 bill?
Yes, sir. For $10, I'd lock your front door.
Oh, all right, and remember, keep your mouth shut.
Yes, sir. Don't shut now. Here you is. This is the basement.
Now, don't say a word, girl. Go lock that back door, Ben.
Yes, sir, I do.
I know where the storerooms are, Jack. Around this way.
Yeah. Well, what else is here in this part of the basement?
Well, the door on the left goes to the boiler room.
Uh-huh. Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, there he is.
Don't let anybody see him, so I don't...
Calm yourself, Jimmy, and let's get on to business. Well, the girl said they sent you a telegram at Albany and told you to clear out.
Oh, I didn't get any telegram.
Well, we sent it to Jimmy Minter and to the address you sent to Jack.
Oh, I didn't use the name of Minter. The woman at the joint where I went probably didn't take the telegram.
Well, tell us how you got here.
Okay. Well, yesterday afternoon, I was sitting upstairs in my room looking out the front window, and I saw a car drive up to the front. Mm-hmm. Two guys got out of the car and came up the stairs and rang the bell. The girl let him in. I heard him talking downstairs and recognized Pete and Belden's voices. Yeah, and there was another fellow out in the car.
Yeah?
I heard him ask for Minter. The girl says there wasn't anybody there by that name. So Pete said he'd find out for himself. The girl started to yell, and Belden must have poked a gap in her ribs because I heard him tell her to keep her mouth shut or he'd plug her full of holes.
Was it a rooming house or a hotel or what?
No, it was just a joint where they rented rooms. I heard Pete coming upstairs. I could hear him searching all the rooms. I tried to get out the door, but I saw him coming down toward me, so I went out the front window. I thought I could slide down the roof of the porch to the ground. That guy in the automobile sees me and tells me to get back. I could see the nose of a gun, and, well, I got back in there.
Yeah?
Well, Pete comes to the room, and, oh, gosh, I knew it was all up with me. They made me get into the car, and we started off for New York. They took me to the Red Rooster, up in Houston's office. Then they started working on me. They told me they'd bump me off right then and there if I didn't tell them what I knew about the Duffy outfit.
Well, what did you tell them?
Why... I had to tell them everything I knew.
You didn't say anything to them about the girls, did you?
No. I swore they didn't know anything about the Duffys.
Well, tell me everything you did tell them.
Well, I told them the Duffy bunch was here to muscle in on the Houston joint.
Did they ask you anything about Harry Duffy's murder?
Well, they said if I didn't come through with everything I knew, they'd make me take the rap for it.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you say?
I said they couldn't do it because Spike Duffy knows who killed his brother.
Oh, did you tell them that, Jimmy?
Sure. They're not going to pin that on me.
Well, then what did they do?
Well... After they got through sweating me, they tied me up and put me in that room where Marge was that time.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. How long were you in there?
I don't know exactly, Mr. Arnold, but I was in there all night and all this morning.
Well, then what happened?
Well, after a long time, they came in and untied me, and they brought me something to eat. I asked Pete if I could go and flop on the couch in the office and go to sleep. He said yes, but go ahead.
Well, did you go to sleep?
Yeah, I slept for a little while, and then I woke up. I could see that they were drinking a lot of stuff. And they were arguing kind of low. And then I heard them say something about Houston and the jail.
Yeah?
At 8 o'clock tonight, they're planning to get Houston and the rest of the gang out of jail.
Oh, a jail break.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, that's some information, Jimmy. We'll have a little surprise ready for them.
And then one of the fellas said, "Say, Pete, what about this guy, Minter? Are you sure he's asleep?" And Pete said, "That don't make any difference if he is or not." And the other guy said... Well, if he overhears us talking, he might spill it to the DA's office like he did before. Belden says he won't spill nothing because he ain't going to go out of this place until we tell him to, and when he does, he won't be coming back. And then Pete says, "We got it all fixed. At 4 o'clock, Gimpy and Joe are going to put this guy in a car, and you know what we told you to do with him. That's Houston's order. And then all of you report back here by 7 o'clock sharp for further instruction."
I see. Then they had planned to take you for a ride today, hmm?
Yeah, Mr. Arnold, I sure thought I was finished all right.
Now, Jimmy, you say they were going to meet at the Red Rooster at 7 o'clock tonight before they try to spring Houston.
Yeah, that's what I heard them say. At 8 o'clock, they said it was the time for the break.
Yeah, we'll be ready for them.
Well, how'd you get away, Jimmy?
Oh, I dragged myself up and asked Pete if I could go to the men's washroom. It's right out on the same floor at the end of the hall. Pete sent the fella named Joe with me. I went into the washroom and I locked the door.
Mm-hmm.
There was a transom open there, but it was kind of high up from the floor, but I made it okay. It opened out on a slanty roof. I climbed out, dropped to the roof, and slid down to the alleyway. Instead of going toward the street, I ran back in the rear entrance of the cafe. I could hear Joe giving the alarm to the other guys and heard him coming down those secret back stairs. And, well, then I ran through the cafe and out the front way.
Well, how did you get here, Jimmy? That was a tight spot.
Yes, how did you get here, Jimmy?
How did Jimmy Minter, surrounded by killers, succeed in getting to Merce's apartment? Has he been trailed? Things have come to a dangerous climax, and anything can happen. So be sure to listen to the next fast-moving chapter in the story of Merce and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.